And to that.
Hi, this is R.C. Sproul, and I hope that you are listening to Renewing Your Mind on this station.
You're listening to WCNO, Palm City.
Good afternoon, radio listeners. Welcome from the Encouragers, Reverend Barbara Coleman and Minister David Michael. We are on the air every Saturday at 3 p.m., bringing words of encouragement from the Holy Bible for everyday life. Please continue to listen in and be blessed. Our Father, who art in heaven, sovereign over everything, Prince of Peace, mighty Counselor, please forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. I thank you for this opportunity to preach your word from the Holy Bible. May what I say be helpful to someone and pleasing to you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. My topic for today is encouragement and life storms. When days seem like nights. Part 2. My scripture comes from Acts 27, 20 through 25, which states, "And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. And after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, Sirs, you should have hearkened unto me, and not have loosed from Crete, and to have gained this harm and loss. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, Fear not, Paul. Thou must be brought before the Caesar. And lo, God hath given thee of them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God, that it shall be even as it was told me." My text is Acts 27, 20, which states, "And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay upon us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away." Those who have received God's encouragement in life storms should encourage others to look to God. Paul was not just an upbeat, positive person who never felt down. Luke's words in verse 20 imply that Paul, Aristarchus, and Luke felt the same as everyone else on board, that there was no hope of being saved. This is reinforced by the angel's words to Paul. Do not be afraid. If Paul had not been discouraged and afraid, he would never have needed these encouraging words. But once he experienced God's encouragement, he then passed it on to others. Before we can pass God's encouragement along to others, we must personally experience it ourselves. We receive God's encouragement by being with his people. Paul did not have to face this difficult voyage to Rome alone. He was accompanied by Aristarchus, a Macedonian of Thessalonica, and Paul, the beloved physician. Aristarchus was one of Paul's traveling companions who had been dragged into the theater during the riot in Ephesus. He accompanied Paul on his journeys through that region. Later, writing from Rome, Paul refers to him as a fellow prisoner. This faithful young man was willing to be Paul's slave and to go to prison with him. No doubt, Paul was greatly encouraged by such a loyal friend and fellow worker. As the journey to Rome began, the ship put into port at Sidon, and the centurion allowed Paul to visit his friends and receive care. We often think of Paul as giving care to others, but he also needed to receive care. He taught that we all are part of the body of Christ. where each member both gives and receives from the other members in order to function properly. We receive God's encouragement when we remember his presence with us. In this case, it was not the Lord himself who appeared to Paul, but his angel. But it had the same effect to remind Paul that God was always with him, always aware of the trials that he was going through. When he gave the Great Commission, our Lord promised, "Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Here Paul again experiences the reality of that promise. We receive God's encouragement when we remember that we are his possession. Paul tells these rough men on board that he belongs to God. If you have trusted in Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, you belong to him. He purchased you with something far more valuable than silver or gold, namely with his precious blood. You can be assured that he is going to take care of his expensive purchase. We receive God's encouragement when we remember that we are his servants. Paul calls God the one whom I serve. The Greek word refers to service to God, sometimes with the quality of worship. It is used of the Old Testament priests offering their service to God. And so it refers to a life that is lived with a Godward focus. All that we are and do should be offered to the Lord as a living sacrifice to him. Every Christian, not just those in so-called full-time Christian service, should view himself or herself as the Lord's servant, always on duty. Every contact in our is an opportunity to represent our Lord Jesus Christ. Throughout the day, we should, through him, continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of lips, of our lips, that give thanks to his name. And do not neglect doing good and sharing, for with such sacrifices, God is pleased. We receive God's encouragement when we remember his promises. Paul relates the angel's words, "You must stand before Caesar." These words are simply a reminder of what the Lord already had told Paul in Jerusalem. The word "must" points to divine necessity. When God says you must, you know that it will happen. He is always faithful to his promises. We receive God's encouragement when we remember that God always answers prayer. Paul could have prayed not only for himself, but also for all on board, that they all would be saved from death. The world never knows the protection that it receives because of the presence and prayers of God's people. We receive God's encouragement by believing him. Paul tells the others on board to keep up their courage and then adds, "For I believe God that it will turn out exactly as I have been told." God's promises do not do us any good unless we believe him, that he will do just as he has said, in spite of our current overwhelming circumstances. When your days seem like nights, call on Jesus. He specializes in handling storms. No matter how strong the winds, Jesus still is on board. And he says, "Peace, be still." When Jesus speaks, things happen. He can change darkness into day. Whatever your situation, Jesus is the answer. So always remember to pray. If you need love, call Jesus. If your burdens are heavy, call on Jesus. If you need direction in life, call Jesus. If your family is falling apart, call on Jesus. Jesus was crucified on a cross. He died a horrible death so that our sins can be forgiven and we could have life and have it more abundantly. Therefore, in the storms of life, be encouraged and turn and trust in God, for he cares for you. January 15, 2025, by Mary Katakis. Multiple administrations have acknowledged the immense opportunity that a proposal of this kind offers to address the burden of tobacco-related disease, FDA Commissioner Dr. Robert Califf said in a statement. Today's proposal envisions a future where it will be less likely for young people to use cigarettes, and more individuals who currently smoke could quit or switch to less harmful products. This action, if finalized, could save many lives and dramatically reduce the burden of severe illness and disability, while also saving huge amounts of money, he continued. I hope we can all agree that significantly reducing the leading cause of preventable disease, death, and disease in the United States is an admirable goal we should all work toward. Some listeners may not have given their lives to Christ, but want to do so. John 3:16 states, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." If you believe and are willing to follow Christ, then join a church that is based on the Holy Bible. Now, a breath of fresh air with Minister David Michael.
Good day and welcome to the Breath of Fresh Air with the Encourager, Minister David Michael. Our topic for today is teamwork. It is written that two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. Ecclesiastes 4th chapter, verse 9. Effective teamwork is essential in building businesses and relationships. When individuals work together, they can double their strength and get more done as a team. They also reap the value of creating harmony by working in unison. One of the key components of a great team is providing direction that engages and inspires its members. Compelling direction combined with positive dynamics, supportive context, information networks, and a shared mindset enable businesses to perform strategic tasks and take on new challenges. However, sometimes the Tates want to disrupt the process of achieving the team's goals and objectives. First, there's Dick Tate, who wants to run everything. Rotate tries to change your mind. Agitate stirs up trouble whenever possible. And Irritate gets on your last nerve. Whenever new ideas are recommended, hesitate and vegetate, pour cold water on them. Imitate tries to mimic everyone. Devastate loves to be disruptive, and Potentate wants to be the big shot. But it's Facilitate, Cogitate, and Meditate who save the day and get everyone working together. A one-man show doesn't get very far. By God's design, all who are in Christ have been made dependent on one another. We may think we can do it on our own, but we can't. We can't fulfill our high calling as members of the body of Christ until we realize that we all have a vital part to play. We are family, and we need to work together to achieve God's will for his glory. Remember, teamwork makes the dream work.
You have been listening to Reverend Barbara Coleman and Minister David Michael, the Encouragers, bringing you words of encouragement from the Holy Bible. We hope that we have said something that was encouraging to you as you continue on your life's journey. Thank you for listening.